Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
My friends, it is go time. It's go time time. It's go, no, go, lock and load. Love them and leave them. Smoke them if you got them. See you when I see you. See you on the other side. Time, time. It's time for Mark Hochman and Channing Crowder.
Can they do it tonight? Do you hold out hope for the Heat? Can they do it tonight? Can they come back to Miami? 1-1.
Yes. Yes!
Spo gonna give it to you.
Gotta play a lot better than another night, but it's a yes.
3 hours. 3 hours away from tip-off. They definitely need a better start to the game than the finish to game one.
They actually started well game one.
Start to game one was excellent. You felt really good. I said earlier in the show, though, is that adrenaline? Is it Miami Heat having adrenaline and the Sixers needing a half to get their footing?
Yeah. The dog then, coming in excited, yeah. And then the favorite says, hey, we're better than these guys. It did seem like that, Hawk.
Because if the Sixers, if they now have their footing, if they look at the beginning of the game tonight, the way that they looked at the end of the game Saturday, we in trouble.
They scored 74 points in the second half.
Wow.
40 points in the fourth quarter.
It did seem like the Heat disengaged, though, in the second half. I don't know why. I don't know. Like, that's the opposite of a normal Miami Heat trait. You know? Like, just to disengage, not to fight.
And with that, when they went on a 20-5 run to start the third quarter, everybody, well, I know I did, and we talked to some other people today, too, that were like, hey, we're going to have our own 12-0 run. They'll have a little run, and we'll work back into it.
All kinds of runs.
To your point, in that second half, did we have a run?
Nah, never came.
Like, we have some little 5-0 run. I'm talking about one of those double-digit, nope. Let's jump back in the game
Even
runs.
The Cavs yesterday, the Cavs, who were as good as dead going into, what was it? They have their little run in the fourth quarter. I think in the fourth quarter, they cut it to 5 at one point,
yes.
Or was that in the third quarter? Like, I'm telling you, in the NBA, games, I was watching that Cavs game last night, and I was thinking, this is like a professional wrestling match. When Hulk Hogan used to be, his arms, he couldn't raise his arms because he had lost all the blood flow to his head. He was passing out. And then they would drop his arm one more time, and it would stop. And there was some life left in him. That's how I felt the Cavs yesterday. I'm like, oh, this is like wrestling. Now the Cavs. And then Indiana just put them away. But it's a game of runs. The Heat's run, though, never came in the second half. No one got it going.
Should they go to Wade faster?
I thought so.
Just throughout the entire game, like if something starts breaking down,
yes.
Throw Wade in.
Yes. Tim Reynolds tweeted this. I read this earlier in the show. Tim Reynolds tweeted yesterday. Tim Reynolds from the AP. Wade's first stint last night. Heat 15, 76ers 3 in the next 3 minutes. So Wade checks in. They outscore the 76ers 15-3 in the 3 minutes. Wade's second stint, Heat 12, 76ers 7 in the next 3 minutes. And then Tim Reynolds tweets, game got out of hand, which might have curtailed his late minutes, but the Heat probably have to put number 3 out there for more than 19 minutes Monday. I'm in 100% agreement with that. And to be quite honest, I wouldn't be mad at you if you started him tonight just to say something. D-Wade's here. It's playoff D-Wade. You know what I mean? Like, hey, if you're planning on playing him 22 minutes, 25 minutes, you can still do that. But just to give him a little something, or maybe you save it for Thursday night at home where you have D-Wade starting the playoffs.
But that point, why would you not play Wade as much as possible? And I think Spo's smart, and I think Riley's extremely intelligent. They are not going to sit Wade if they don't have to. Wade has been floating around 20 minutes a game this season. So in my mind, that's the number they've set on Wade. Are they comfortable letting Wade play 30, 35 minutes? I don't think they're going to do that to Dwayne Wade at his age.
You got to get more out of Dwayne Wade because this is why you have him.
But do you have to use those 20 minutes smarter? Or do you literally just need more time of Dwayne Wade on the basketball
court?
Well,
I would say more time. I would say in the playoffs, and based on what you saw in the second half, like, give me more D Wade on the court. And then what is it? It's Monday night. They don't play again until Thursday night. Like,
and what are you saving him for?
That my earlier point too. Like, what are you saving him for?
Retirement is life.
17th season?
Like, man, might pass away out there.
like, what are you saving him for?
In case you get. If you play,
there's a reason Joel Embiid's not out there playing. You don't want to risk him. He's the future.
Do you have to think about this? What if this series goes to seven? Can we have Wade game seven if we plan for 35 minutes game two? Do they have to do
yes.
that? Do they have to do that math?
I can do the math for you. Yes.
Yes? You
yes.
can for sure say that on 36-year-old knees with all these surgeries and stem cell shots he's had.
I can tell you right now, you can play Dwayne Wade 30 minutes in these playoff games. He will be fine.
At 25, Hawk.
We're talking about 1 7-game series.
And we're talking about an old player. Wade is old, man. Wade is prehistoric. Wade is a couple years away from Tim Duncan.
Well, I mean, here's the bottom line, though. It's not Dwayne Wade that was the difference on Saturday night. There's a lot of things that went wrong. But I do think Dwayne Wade out there would have helped you. I think a more engaged Hassan Whiteside would have helped you. I don't know if you can ever overcome that kind of shooting from Bellinelli and J.J. Redick and Ersan Ilyasova. Like, I don't know if you can ever overcome that.
This team, no. Because this team can't get to 120. No
right.
way.
Like, how are you going to counter with that? So, like, you know, do I think that there was a magic fix to Saturday night that had the Heat done X, the result would have been different? I do not believe so. Their shooting was ridiculous. I mean, that shot that Ersan Ilyasova, oh no, it was Bellinelli that hit that ball that was going out of bounds at the 24-second buzzer. I mean, that was a circus shot. I mean, how are you going to stop that?
Get nasty with him.
Well, Whiteside could have gotten a little nasty in his 12 minutes, and maybe that would have sent a little message. Instead, he decided to move out of the way.
But don't you see him being a little more physical?
I think tonight you start Udonis Haslem and Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, this Ooh. Team's not feisty, though. Like,
but not feisty, just physical.
Who's going to be physical?
I don't know, but I
Josh
want somebody
Richardson.
To be
Whiteside.
Physical.
Whiteside! Whiteside!
My thing would be Whiteside. Or honestly, listen, I don't want to call the man out. I like him. This James Johnson and all this damn karate man stuff.
I'm
and
a
all
karate
these
man.
Memes. He's a karate,
karate
man.
Karate man brews on the inside.
Well, how about he brews on the inside during some of these games? Physical play. That's what slows down teams. They're 130 a game. Go in there and knock Ben Simmons in the head and see if he drives.
But
to
you
the
don't
rim.
Want you don't want James Johnson to do a karate chop during the game.
An elbow.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
A knee. Something.
Have him break some boards at a timeout.
Did you see that? Did you see that karate guy that tried to break that roof shingle on his head and knocked himself to sleep? It's ridiculous.
I did see that. That was funny.
It's yes.
Literally knocked out?
Yeah.
He tried to hit himself in the head, knocked himself off a table, flipped backwards, and concussed himself.
Is that funny or sad?
I laughed.
I laughed too, but...
I laugh at any time anybody over 18 gets hurt. Mm.
Karate man bruise on the inside.
James Johnson ain't bruising inside, outside. I need more out of him.
The line tonight is what? Heat getting 6.5?
6.5, yeah.
Boy, I don't know if I could.
Heat money line.
I want the Heat to win. We need the Heat to win, but I don't know if I can get fooled 2 games in a row.
I got to see the successful game plan. If they go out and beat Philly tonight.
But they don't have much other, like, they don't have much else to do. Like, what they did Saturday night is pretty much what they do. What I thought was lacking was 3 things. Fight in the second half. They were lacking something. I thought they were lacking a little bit of D-Wade. And Hassan Whiteside was lacking effort. But that game plan, like, that's who they are. Like, that's what they do.
They have to protect the three-point line. But now you have to leave the paint. So Whiteside will be the guy to protect the paint.
There you go.
Now the other defenders can attack, you know, can go outside. Whiteside plays 12 minutes. That entire thought is deleted because there's nobody else that
how
can
about,
protect the paint.
How about this, Valero? And this isn't even a wager, though. But what would you give over-under on Whiteside minutes tonight? Where would you set that over-under?
19.
Where would you set the over-under on Whiteside minutes? What's his average for the season? What is Whiteside average in minutes for the season? What would you set the over-under at? Because I would probably go 20 minutes. I think I'm with Falero.
He's at 25 minutes per game.
25 minutes per game?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be around that 20 mark.
And you think he goes over or under?
You know what?
I think he goes over tonight.
I'll go under. I'll go under because I believe that Philly will get a lead, and you cannot have Whiteside in the game if you're down by 15.
You got to be shooting threes. You got to be running. And yep.
So I'll go under because they're going to play him out of the game. Even if Spo wants to keep him in, the scheme and the score is going to make Whiteside sit down. Tonight.
And by the way, as much as I say, and a lot of Heat fans too, you know, you got to get Whiteside involved early. If Philly's running down the court, jacking up three after three, and we come lumbering down and try feeding the ball to Hassan, Heat fans, the ones that are saying to get Whiteside more involved, are going to be cursing at their televisions.
They are.
They are going to be cursing at their television because it's not fun to watch.
And you can't win that way. Even the teams with good center still in the playoffs, they don't run offense that way.
I have a giveaway. I have a twosome of golf at Palmetto Golf Course. I've been raving about Palmetto for a good week now. You link up with family or friends, enjoy mini golf, 18-hole golf course, lighted driving range, party rentals, and more. Rediscover why Palmetto is one of Miami's favorite golf courses. They're just off US 1 and Southwest 152nd Street. Palmetto Golf offers something for everyone. You could always visit their website, golfpalmetto.com. If you want to win a twosome of golf there, be caller 5 on the contest line, 1-800-227-0560. 1-800-227-0560. Bottom line is you come back 1-1, you are golden.
And you forget what happened in game 1.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what Cleveland is saying. Yep. Like, one loss, doesn't matter how much you lose by. If you come back 1-1, you have done your job.
Oh, for sure. And it could swing. They look like they didn't know what they were doing. Spo gets a game plan. They put something together.
Our show tomorrow will be so different. I'm telling you, everyone will swing. If they put up a W tonight, everyone changes. Spo figured it out. Someone got into Whiteside's head and straightened him out. Like, this could easily feel totally different tomorrow.
If we're down 0-2, does coming home change it?
Then you got to get game 3. Yeah, I mean, you got to get.
No, but, like, do you feel that, hey, whatever happens, we come home, we're going to get these? Like, do the Heat have home court advantage? Do the Heat have some?
If they're down 0-2, then you go into the one game at a time mode. Take care of business on your home court first night, and then you're right back into the swing of things.
That's a little panicky mode in my mind. Start doing the one play at a time thing. That's when coaches started to panic when I was in my – my career remembering.
After tonight, it might be time to panic.
Down by 10, a minute left. Guys, come on now. Let's just play third down. That's all we can do. Yeah.
No one said that on third and 10 with a minute to go down 10. No one said
that. Yeah, they did. Oh, you think coaches really give up? You never know what happened.
No,
back
but I'm
in 76,
no, that sounds,
I remember.
No, that sounds more believable than, hey, just third and 10. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, guys, we can't win this game. They get it or not. No, coaches always do that. I've seen everything happen.
Anything good happen? The Cavs almost came back and won that game yesterday. They were down 600 points.
They got it within 6.
Victor Oladipo, that dude.
Coming out party. He impressed me.
Me too.
That was the most impressive thing I saw this weekend.
Victor Oladipo.
It really was.
How about Minnesota hanging with Houston? Minnesota hung with Houston, lost by 3. That had to be a 10-point line, 1-8. All right, we're going to talk in the next segment with James Herbert from CBSSports.com. We will talk a little more Heat and Sixers. He covers the NBA for CBSSports.com, so we'll get a little breakdown for him. You've heard me talk a lot lately about BNT services. Why? I've shared the story. My wife and I moved into our house about 7 years ago, and we knew that we needed new windows in the front of the house, really good impact windows, and we kept putting it off. And then Hurricane Irma bared down on South Florida. And as I'm drilling plywood into the house, trying to protect my family, I said, I'm not going to do that again next hurricane season. So we made the decision to finally take the leap and get impact windows and doors for our house. And we called BNT Services. Tom and Brett came out to the house, and they helped us pick out the perfect PGT custom windows and doors. Maybe you've been thinking about impact windows and doors for your house. Maybe you've been thinking about it for 7 years like we did. Don't wait any longer. Put that tax refund to good use. Call my friends, Brett and Tom, at BNT Services. When it comes to protecting your investment, yourself, and your family, you want good, honest guys that know what they're doing. They've been in the game since Hurricane Andrew. BNT Services specializes in impact windows and doors with over 25 years experience. Their staff will help you pick out the perfect PGT custom windows and doors that work best for you. So don't wait any longer. Make the changes to your house that you know you need to make. Call BNT Services. 954-233-0126. That's 954-233-0126. Or go to bntwindowsanddoors.com and you can get all the info right there. bntwindowsanddoors.com. My wife and I are so glad we called them. You will be too. Radio.com. You have a sense of doom hanging over you for tonight's game, or are you able to compartmentalize, put the loss to the side, and say, hey, one loss, doesn't matter by how many, and boom, you move on?
I compartmentalize 7 and 8 point losses. 27 point losses, it just hangs over me a little bit, Hawk.
Understood. Let's head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Talk to James Herbert, NBA writer for CBSSports.com. Had him on the show before. Enjoyed talking basketball with him. Hello, James.
How's it going?
So what do the Heat need to do? I'm guessing we're all in agreement they need to do something different to get past the Sixers. Do you take anything from Saturday night's game, Saturday night's Heat-Sixers game? Do you take anything as a positive for Miami?
I didn't think the offense was bad. I mean, the main issue was they gave up so many points. I mean, I don't think the Sixers are going to shoot like 65% from three again. But, I mean, coming into the series, my main concern for Miami was how this team is going to score against Philadelphia. I mean, the Sixers have had one of the best defenses in the league. And Miami, while very deep and versatile, doesn't quite have the top, like, high-end scoring as some other teams in the playoffs. So that was my concern. But in that area, I didn't think they were that bad in the first game. I mean, especially in the first half, I thought they were doing pretty well. It was just when Philly got going, when his offense was humming, when the ball was flying around the court and Ben Simmons was getting in the paint wherever he wanted, that's when things didn't look good. And obviously the particularly scary thing about what happened in game one is the Sixers did that. They blew the Heat out without their best player.
And, James, it sounded like you were trying to be nice. The Heat are deep, and they struggle to score. You didn't say the word talented. Like, well, as you watched that game, did you see the Heat being talented enough to beat these 76ers, James? Because they looked like they were younger, they were faster, they were just more talented.
I mean, the Sixers are more talented. I think everybody knew that coming in to this series. Like, that isn't new. The Heat, I think their strength, really all season long, is they can throw a lot of different looks at teams, and they just sort of can overwhelm you with their aggressiveness and the fact that these guys just keep coming. And I think I'm interested to see if the rotation changes at all in game two. It was sort of an interesting one in game one. Like, they kind of had to go and play Kelly Olynyk major minutes because whenever he was off the court that they were kind of discombobulated. I think it was a really, really rough night for Hassan Whiteside, who only managed like 12 minutes, was not effective when he was out there. And you have to wonder if he can bounce back in this next game, or if maybe they only really need him when they need his size when Joel Embiid is back in the lineup. I'm not sure, honestly. I mean, I'm a big Josh Richardson guy. I love the way he played this season, but that was not a great game one for him on the offensive end in particular. I think the Heat do have enough talent to win a couple of games in this series. I predicted the Sixers would win in six, but I mean, they have enough talent to make it not easy on Philly, and things just looked really easy in the second half for them. That was what was worrying.
James Herbert, CBSSports.com, is with us. You mentioned Hassan Whiteside. Obviously, the 12 minutes played and the 2 points and the seemingly lethargic attitude. We debated on the show earlier because Ira Winderman had written something in the Sun Sentinel about, have the Heat quit on Hassan Whiteside or did Hassan Whiteside quit on the Heat? There's kind of a chicken and egg thing going on there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to even answer that question because, like, to me, it's sort of the player's responsibility to when he is in there to play as hard as possible and try to be effective. And as a coach, I think Spoelstra is thinking, well, he started, I gave him a chance, and it wasn't working, so he went in a different direction. And I'm sure Hassan Whiteside, like most players, when they get yanked early, when they're not getting the regular minutes, they say, well, I need time out there to get my rhythm. I need touches if I'm going to be effective. But, I mean, the Heat aren't going to build their entire offense around Hassan Whiteside. They're not just going to pound the ball in the post to him. That's not the way that they play, and I think if he is going to earn his minutes, if he's going to justify himself being out there when the Heat have other options, especially offensively, he needs to be a beast on the inside protecting the rim. He needs to move his feet when he's defending the pick and roll, and he needs to just like dive really hard in the pick and rolls on the other end and try to create vertical spacing and help his teammates out that way. Because what he's not going to do is he's not going to do the stuff Kelly Olynyk does, where you can have him running dribble handoffs on the perimeter, where he's passing to cutters, where he's spacing the floor from the three-point line. So Hassan Whiteside has to do it his way, and if it means being productive in limited minutes and being okay with that, then like that's what like you have to do, and you have to be okay with that. If that's your role in the series, you have to accept it.
I think we're all in agreement that he was not productive. He was not hustling or whatever. But are you okay with him only ending up with 12 minutes, though? In other words, you don't think Spo yanked him too soon and didn't give him enough chance to get into a rhythm?
No, I mean, they were doing much better without him. That's the thing, is like the way this Heat team is built. Like, you can have some nights where Wayne Ellington is the best player on the floor and he plays 30, 32 minutes. Like, he I think, played what, like 18, 19, something like that in that game. They just have so many options on the wing. And the same is true up front. I mean, they can go small. I think Olynyk really opens up a lot of things offensively. And against a team like the Sixers, like I said, a staunch defense, a bunch of athletic guys that can switch, that are really aggressive and can force turnovers. I think they need to play Olynyk. And Bam Adebayo brings a different skill set, too. And I think the way he played in his rookie season, that justified him getting rotation minutes. I think, look, this is that game one you can call a feeling out game. And if you do want to throw it out the window, especially if you're a Heat fan, I understand doing that because we have seen this in the past. People overreact to the first game. They think one guy who was not effective in the first game, they're just not right for the series, whatever. No, like Hassan Whiteside could still find his place in the series, but that doesn't mean Spoelstra was wrong to yank him in the first game.
And James, talking about like running, you know, having Whiteside involved, I always ask the question of that old school center, that 7-footer, could they keep up? You look at like Al Horford where he shoots or, you know, the Anthony Davis, like the game's changing where if we left Whiteside in, if we gave Whiteside 30 minutes, could you keep up? Because they scored 130 points, speaking of the 76ers. We can score 130 running the ball through a center.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, the mentality was always like, I can remember the Thunder a few years ago, they'd start Kendrick Perkins and like they would just like sort of throw a few possessions in the trash every game by being like, we're just going to give him this post up because we think if he touches the ball, if he feels it, it doesn't matter if he turns it over, he's going to be more engaged. He's going to play harder defensively. He's going to rebound. He's going to set harder screens. We have to feed the big guy. I think that era is gone. Like if you are a big man, you have to do the exact things your team needs you to do when you're on the court to be effective. I think Clint Capella last night in that Rockets game is a perfect example. I mean, he did end up putting up numbers in that game, but it wasn't because they were just beating him on the block. It wasn't because they were running the offense through him. He was beating Karl-Anthony Towns down the floor every single time, just sprinting, and he was a great lob target for James Harden, and he completely affected that game, almost dominated it, like outplayed Towns in that game because of his defense, because of his aggression, because of his attitude. And I mean, that I'm not saying Hassan Whiteside is going to turn into Clint Capella every night, but he sort of needs to play like that, if that makes sense.
I think it's funny that now, 2 years later, we're hoping that Hassan Whiteside can turn into Clint Capella for a night. the way things have changed.
Ooh, if we had Clint
Capella
now.
I'm telling you, 2 years ago, I think we were comparing him to Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell. Yeah. And now we're like, if you could get one Clint Capella game out of him, everything will be fine. Things change.
The league has changed, man. And like, the role of a center has changed. Like, and honestly, unless you are somebody like Joel Embiid, who you'll see in this series soon, like there really aren't that many centers that just automatically require a double team and can change a game that way. Embiid is one of them. Whiteside on his best night can be that guy, but like he is not that consistently, right? And I think he has this reputation as this amazing defender, and he can affect games that way. But I mean, he often, you know, there's been this big debate for years over like how much he actually helps the defense because of his plus minus numbers and blah, blah, blah. We don't need to relitigate that now. But he is not that like perfect modern age rim protecting, rim running center. He has some of the qualities of that. But I think if that was just who he was, then he wouldn't have these issues where he is getting benched in the fourth quarter and he's unhappy about it. He wouldn't have these issues where, no, it's actually legitimately better to have Kelly Olynyk out there for the offense to function in game one of the playoffs.
James Herbert covers the NBA for CBSSports.com. Let me quickly just go a couple other places. Cleveland, is there reason to be worried for the Cavs?
Sure. I don't think you overreact and you say, all right, the Pacers are going to win this series now. But I think if the Cavs don't bring the proper effort and intensity, which they didn't in the first game, then they could be exposed. I mean, they have a roster where they can no longer afford to take possessions off, to not approach things the right way. I think all year long, no matter how bad things were on defense, you were still like, all right, the offense is going to be fine. You have LeBron, they're going to put up points. Well, guess what? They scored 80 points in game one. Like, they just were disjointed from the opening tip, throwing the ball away offensively. A lot of these role players are missing shots, but I mean, Jeff Green, when you're counting on him to space the floor, like the Pacers are going to dare him to shoot. I think there's a bit of a problem with the roster in that it's hard for Tyronn Lue to find lineups that can be effective both offensively and defensively at the same time. That has been somewhat of an issue for the past few years, but in the past few years, you could play your best defensive lineups and just have LeBron and Kyrie as a part of it and hope those guys will bail you out. And if they no longer have Kyrie, Kevin Love did not do much offensively at all in game one, so it was just sort of up to LeBron, and LeBron played well. But his triple-double was almost kind of meaningless because he didn't really have enough help in that game. And I think they let some of their offensive struggles, which they're not used to, carry over to the defensive end, which has been a major issue for them all season long. I think the Pacers really came out and made a statement. They've played with this like really professional, balanced approach all season long. And I think I wouldn't pick them to win the series, but I don't think it's going to be easy for the Cavs. I think Indiana should be taken more seriously than they were by a lot of people going into the series.
James, you talk about LeBron's help. This has to be the worst roster he's ever taken into a playoff run.
Well, it maybe that's kind of up to debate. I think if everybody is healthy and if they're on the same page, then this roster could be potent than you're saying. I mean, when you look at last night, like George Hill played like 19 minutes, played I think 3 minutes in the second half because of a foot injury. He did not practice today. That's supposed to be their proper two-way point guard who can really shut down opposing guards and space the floor. He was a non-factor. Kyle Korver was, besides LeBron, their most consistent player over the course of the season, one of the best shooters in the league, and he barely played. He misses practice today because he's sick. Rodney Hood is a guy that I thought would be a bigger part of the team than he has been, did not really make his presence felt that much in that game, but I think there is a higher ceiling there. And they didn't even bother playing Tristan Thompson. And I thought going into the series, one of the advantages they might have against this Pacers team that was terrible at rebounding throughout the regular season is you play Love and Thompson together, maybe you can dominate the glass, get some extra possessions. Like, I think there is more potential here, but you're right. Like, in terms of just help from LeBron, in terms of playmaking, in terms of guys that can, like, break down the defense and get a shot when the defense is really good and the offense is sort of stagnating. Like, they don't have that. Like they turn to LeBron in those situations exclusively, and I think that can wear on a guy.
James Herbert, CBSSports.com. Heat and Sixers tonight, game two. Heat plus 6.5. Who you got?
I got the Sixers. In the series, I have the Sixers in six games. So I'm assuming the Heat will win one of the next two. But the way the Sixers came out in the first game, I find it hard to bet against them right now.
Yeah, understood. Thank you for making time for us, James.
Thanks for having me.
James Herbert, read his work, CBSSports.com. Quick break for us. We'll come right back.
The Turnpike extension this afternoon really affecting our southbounders, but first heading over to West Palm Beach. At Southern Boulevard, there's also been a crash. This one's eastbound just before Lyons Boulevard, blocking up two left lanes, causing patchy delays. That crash on the Turnpike extension is southbound at the Dolphin. It's blocking up two left lanes and causing plenty of traffic behind it. We also have a wreck clearing on the Airport Expressway westbound at Lejeune Road. And I'm Amelia DeVita, and weekday mornings beginning at 6, join Joe Rose on AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM.
There we go. Play at your own risk. Come on. This is for Hassan. Play at your own risk.
Is that good?
I don't know. By the way, 560 WQAM and Big Five Rum present football draft night on Thursday, April 26th. Dave and Buster's in the Oakwood Plaza in Hollywood starts at 8 p.m. It's brought to you by Big Five Rum, Florida made, Cuba inspired, and by Carolina Auto Body. When your car's in tow, there's only one place to go, CarolinaAB.com. Make sure you join us at Dave and Buster's in Hollywood for draft night. It'll be a fun night. Any chance you're going to go home and watch the Marlins tonight? Why is it a 6:30 game?
I don't know. They've had some weird start times this season.
This one's in New York, though. Like, why is it a 6:30 game? I don't understand.
Get out the way.
Because you can watch it for like an hour and a half and then
do something.
Devote your attention to the Heat.
No, because the NFL does it, I know. Like, if you're not a good team, they kind of don't care where you play.
Yeah, but the Yankees.
But then the Yankees, I don't know if they disrespect the Marlins. I don't know if the change of schedule has something to do with them knowing the Marlins aren't going to be that good.
I don't know.
I actually researched it.
Uh-oh.
And remember the game they had against the Red Sox that started at 6:10?
Uh-huh.
They said, why is that? Well, it has to do with provision in the latest CBA regarding getaway days. As stated in the CBA, for the 2018 championship season, the latest possible start time for getaway games on days when the visiting club travels to a home off day or either club travels to another game the following day shall be determined by taking the portion of the in-flight time.
Wait a second. But it's not a getaway day because the Marlins play in New York tomorrow. This is the opposite of a getaway day.
Hmm. I'm just talking about the Boston game.
But we're not talking about the Boston.
We're talking about start times.
No, but no.
That's
no.
Cool. Does that work for me?
I don't understand what you did there. I asked about tonight's game starting at 6:35, and you researched why the Marlins-Red Sox game started at 6 a couple weeks ago?
I was wondering why the game started at 6:35, and that story came up.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And did you do the dialogue in your head that I always tell you about, where you said, if I start talking about a getaway day, I should probably make certain this is a getaway day?
I did. I was waiting for you to interrupt me.
Okay. The dialogue, that internal dialogue is the part that he's missing.
Is that multitasking? I can't multitask like
no,
that.
No, it's not multitasking at all. It has nothing to do with multitasking.
I'm reading something and you want me to talk to myself while I'm reading. That's multitasking.
No, I wanted you to have the conversation before you started talking to us.
Oh.
You actually could have turned all the lights off in there, had just a conversation in your own head about how your factoid was going to go.
Well, in simpler terms, if either team flies out after the game...
There's no flying out after the game!
Simpler terms.
That's what it says on the article. And the flight is longer than 2.5 hours. The game has to start early.
Man.
Valero, not my words.
Valero earlier had asked Crowder, do you have any food? I have a little bit of a stomach issue. Crowder said, I've got some candy. And Falero responded with, "Nah, I don't want candy. I'm looking for like a Snickers bar."
Which I'm still looking for.
It's really shocking.
And he was serious. He's joking now. He was serious 100%.
And then he saw the look on both our faces.
I was wondering why you guys are so appalled by it.
I don't want candy. I'd like something like a Snickers bar.
It's not a candy bar.
Had no idea you wanted an omelet. Next time you should be more clear.
It's a protein bar.
You know what? What movie's that where they thought if they put Gatorade on the plants, they'd grow bigger? Idiocracy or something?
Like, that's what he thinks?
That's the dumb kids coming up.
So if I eat a Snickers bar, that's like a protein bar. Why is it like a protein bar?
It has nuts in it.
This is their logic.
Like a Reese's peanut butter cup is like peanut.
It's like peanut butter. It's not the same.
Ah. It's a different.
Not these healthier. Are actual nuts. Like
right.
You have the nuts
so it's
in
not
there.
Mashed up. So mm-hmm. If the nut isn't mashed up, it's a real nut.
Correct. Peanut butter is not really that healthy.
A mashed nut loses its nutrition.
Actually, peanut butter has a lot of protein. You're actually incorrect.
Yeah, but not like
in that.
Reese's peanut butter.
What? You didn't let me hit him earlier.
Please. You know what? Go ahead. Go hit him. I can go over the lines here. I can go over Hassan Whiteside.
You got to be my alibi, though. You got to say I didn't leave the studio.
Yeah, that's fine.
We got it. We
you
locked in.
You hear the door
go
open.
Go ahead. I mean,
I hear the chair.
Lay him out.
No, he already laid me out.
Lay
once.
Him out.
That's abuse.
Channel your Udonis Haslam. You're wearing a Gator shirt.
Yes.
Go BUD. Lance Stevenson, by the way. Does anyone get into LeBron's head more than Lance Stevenson?
No, because he's really crazy.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
That dude was just flailing at LeBron when LeBron would drive the lane last night.
Did you not see him against Dwight Howard where he swatted Dwight Howard? The ball went off the backboard. Lance Stevenson was just flexing, and the another Charlotte player just dunked the ball.
Yeah, he forgot that the play was still going
on. He just wanted to flex.
It was great.
There's trash talkers, and then there's legit crazy.
Crazy people.
I'll tell you this, I wouldn't mess with Lance Stevenson.
Like, he looks crazy.
Nothing off of his size or his strength. I think he is legit Looney Tunes, and I don't know what he would continue to do if we ever started fighting. He's the guy that grabs something for real. He's the guy that...
Well, you're that guy, too, though. You grabbed a pencil and tried to stab someone.
Lance is the guy that drives 24 hours to get to a fight and still fights.
And still has that anger.
That's what Lance... I'm scared of Lance Stevenson. Lance Stevenson is probably one of the 6 or 7 people in the world that I would not even get into it with.
Including me.
The people that Crowder... This is my guess. People that could actually beat you in a fight. Just because, you know, they'd be so amped up. And so I would say Lance Stevenson. I would say Udonis.
The crazy.
I would say Trick Daddy's crew.
I don't know. The whole crew, yes, but
the whole
one
crew.
On,
no.
Yeah,
the whole
one
crew.
On one. No, we can't do. We got to do the one on
crew.
One phase.
No, the whole crew. And Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Dog the Bounty Hunter can go to hell.
Here's the lines for tonight. Heat are getting 6.5 from the Sixers tonight. I'm torn.
Let's do it.
I'm scared.
You guys have no faith in them? To bounce back?
I watched the Saturday night game.
Yeah, they're not going to shoot 65% from three again.
Okay.
So maybe they'll only win by 12.
I honestly don't know a game plan that could make me feel as if they can win tonight. They haven't shown me enough in that first game to say, hey, this is what works well against the Sixers. I didn't see anything Saturday night.
Maybe they need a good pep talk.
A pep talk.
Well, that's what
Hassan. I know a guy.
Watch out the camera guy.
Ridiculous pep talk.
That's a good one.
Ridiculous pep talk.
Ron Artest is on that list. I'm scared of
guys,
Panda.
Guys, are you scared of?
Yeah. What's he call himself? Fuzzy Panda?
Meta World Peace.
So, Meta World Peace.
Curtains.
Lance Stevenson.
Yeah. I was, you know what it was? Joey Porter was on that list till I get to know him.
Joey Porter.
Because Joey is I know he's a decent person, but before I got to know him, I said, this guy is a...
James Harrison.
I'm terrified of him.
Yeah, James Harrison.
He's number one on the list.
Yeah. And Dog the Bounty Hunter.
He scared me asking for a beer.
What is this dog, the bounty hunter? Nobody's scared of that 5'3" old-ass white man.
Golden State Warriors are 9.5-point favorites over the Spurs tonight. Who would you take in a series, Golden State Warriors or Five Dog the Bounty Hunters?
I thought you had a real question. I looked at you and I locked it.
Hey, you were ready. Okay, all right. Spurs or?
I thought he was going to say Houston. Like, who would you take, Warriors or Houston?
Warriors, 9.5 point favorites over the Spurs tonight.
I like it.
You like?
Golden State. They're good, man.
They really are, and the Spurs are in trouble. But that's when Greg Popovich does something. I don't know what it is.
Greg has nothing for that.
There's nothing for this one?
Steph's not even playing. They're whooping him.
What's one of those spells, Valero, that Greg Popovich can do?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Yes, I said Guardium.
Guardium Leviosa.
Raptors are 6.5-point favorites over the Wizards tonight.
I'll take the Raptors.
Raptors are going to sweep that series, right?
I like that one, too.
Celtics, 2.5-point favorites over the Bucks.
Stay away.
That's a stay away game.
It's a watch game, though.
Yeah.
Those teams are good. It's fun to watch, though.
And what do we got? Oh, those are tomorrow. Oh, the only games tonight are Heat 76ers, Spurs Warriors. I didn't realize there's only two games tonight. So tomorrow there's three games. Pelicans and Blazers are late game.
Spurs, Warriors, is that a must watch? I know what's going to happen. I'm not staying I'm going to stay up till midnight to watch.
I like watching the Warriors more when Steph Curry's playing, and I like watching the Spurs more when Kawhi Leonard's playing.
They're out.
Would you trade Kawhi Leonard? Right now, if I gave you Kawhi Leonard straight up for Dog the Bounty Hunter.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.